This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello there, everyone. Thanks for being with us again. A massive welcome along to another edition of the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. At the time of recording, it is Thursday evening, the 2nd of March. I haven't told Ollie this, but it means that about this time, exactly 2 years ago, that phrase, it's a good way to lose, was coined. So happy it's a good way to lose day to everyone, and happy it was a good way to lose day, Ollie.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to use that phrase at the minute, because we're not Bolton fans, are we? So we don't have to say that, which is a very good thing to be on this very day, as it is a special occasion that this day, I can't even remember what it's called now. What's it called? The good way to lose day.
It was a good way to lose day, yeah.
Yeah, what a terrible phrase that is, hey? I don't think that should really... I have said it myself.
On this podcast, I think you've said it in the past, actually.
I said about the Peterborough game. It was a good way to lose because we went out fighting and attacking them as we did in another game. But I can't remember which one that was. But yeah, I agree. It's a good way to lose day. Fantastic.
We'll start as we always do with the shout outs. This week's shout out actually comes in person. And I don't know if I have told you this story. I might well have done.
Are you shouting us out?
I'm not shouting us out. No, I'm shouting someone out who I saw in person on Wednesday. Wednesday? Yes, yesterday. I went to Fratton Park yesterday to meet up with a friend of mine who works at the club. And I was, Pompey fans will know this if you've been to Fratton Park, or if you've ever been to Fratton Park, really, there's a big Tesco next door now. There wasn't before, but there is now. And I had parked my car in Tesco and I was walking over to the club shop. So people will know that there's kind of a petrol station and then there's a hand car wash with a jet that you can do your own car with. And then you can kind of go for a little gap and then you get to the club shop. I was walking along. I was in my Pompey jacket. It was about 10:30 in the morning. I was going to meet Henry at the club shop and I walked past this car that was in a queue of three cars waiting for the jet wash to be free. It was a guy doing the jet wash and one car back from that. And then the car back from that was a grey car. When I was walking past, I was going towards the club shop and the window came down and a guy's face greeted me and his eyes lit up and he went, "Are you falling over and all over it?" And I went, "Yeah, I am," as it goes, yeah. And he quickly grabbed his phone, turned it around, and he was watching the video from the night before of us on the channel that had been posted just a couple of hours ago. So he was sat there in the queue with his phone on his dash, watching 4-0 Written All Over It through. And his name is Matt Saunders. So big shout out to you, Matt. We had a little chat. He says he's a podcast listener as well. So he'll be listening to this and he'll be delighted that he got a mention. So thank you for that. Ollie, you wanted a statement to give us some confidence, a win. Here we are, smiling a week later with back-to-back wins. Just to start, what have you made of this week at Pompey?
I like to think that it was probably my input.
Oh, massively.
That's helped the team get to this point. Because they seem to have taken on board everything that I said. You know, which was go out and score goals. And that's exactly what we've done, which has been fantastic to see. You know, we've said it time and time again, the attacking setup that we've got in this team is very strong for this league. We've got a lot of strength in depth and we need to utilise that. And, you know, 4-0 win, of course, 4-0 written all over it. It's got to happen. And then going to play Bolton at home, obviously, Bolton being away. I thought that was going to be a tough challenge. We've lost to them twice. If I'm honest with you, I was thinking this week, if we come out with 4 points, that's a good week. And the fact we've turned that around and we obliterated them 3-1. And let's face it, it could have been more. It wasn't like that was the only opportunity we had in that game. So, yeah, I'm very happy with the end result of this week. I think it's obviously it couldn't have been any better. We scored a lot of goals. We only conceded one over two games against a good side in Bolton. And it's just it goes to show, doesn't it? You know, if we continually pump the ball in and put the ball in the net, it doesn't matter if you concede one. It doesn't matter. Like the two games prior to that, we lost 1-0 both times to Bolton.
Mm-hmm. 3-0 away and then 1-0 for the Tuesday one, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Payback.
No. Yeah, it is definitely payback. But equally, if we scored 3 goals in those games, like we did against them this time around, we've won 2, drawn 1. So it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be going into these games, trying to score goals. And just that needs to be the sole focus. We use our attacking setup. make use of it, go with confidence, go into batter teams like we have the last two games and just bang a couple. Even if we get two a game, you know, there's not many teams that are going to put three past you in this league. So, and if they do, fair play, they deserve the win. So let's go out there and try and score as many as we can. And let's not worry too much about the defending aspect of it, because I think we've got a good little lineup at the back now. I think it seems to be working quite well together. I still have my question marks over Raggett, obviously, but you know, all in all, we've been quite solid. We conceded one goal in two games, won both those games, and I think that's a fairly good setup.
We'll take a deep dive into it in a moment. Just a quick word on Bolton before we do so. John Massinio said this is a chance for this group of players to show Bolton how much of a different side they can be. And it shows the Pompey fans the progression from what was probably the low point of the season in terms of us going up to Bolton. I remember being there 3-0 away was, I think, if you take it over the course of however many games we played now, it was the worst performance I've seen from Pompey. And then Tuesday night was probably the best performance I've seen us put together in terms of a complete 90-minute display, which is what we've all been kind of calling out for. I thought we were the better team all night. I think we came out for second half and were a little bit sloppy, but I think it was the most deserved win of our season so far, and it was the one that we fought the hardest for. And it's nice to see Joe Morrell, obviously, before the game said we need a statement win, and we've got that. And I think Massinio is proof's in the pudding. He said that these Bolton players are going to see a very different Pompey. We spoke about it on the Sunday Live. Would Bolton underestimate us? I don't know whether to that extent they maybe did. But in the same breath, there's no denying that's all you need. Take that first game against Bolton in the lead this season, twin it with the second game, and you've got your Massinio effect.
Yeah, it's a completely different performance, isn't it? And it's like we mentioned last week, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the best team performance you've seen. And I think the team is a very key word in there. I think we're gelling as a team. We're not 11 individuals playing in the same shirt. We're 11 individuals playing for the same shirt, which that attitude and that mindset makes a big difference. You know, if you're working for each other and you're looking out for each other and you're covering one another and you're working as a team, it makes it difficult for other clubs to come break you down. And it also makes you formidable going forward, because you're all looking to play off one another and work one another. And that is a kind of threat that is very difficult to get around if you're an opposing side. So it's nice to see that we're doing what we set out to do. You know, it's nice to see that he's made his bed and he's gone, this is how we're going to play football, and this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to set up for this game. And we went out there, achieved that and won. So, you know, it was the right choices, the right decisions were made, and it's nice to see the impact that's having on the team, but also on the fans. You know, I was listening to the Fratton End in the highlights of the game against Bolton, and we were 1-0 down at the time, and there was still the bell going, still singing, still noise, and it's been a little while since we've seen that kind of attitude being 1-0 down at home. Normally at 1-0 down at home, the crowd starts to turn. Everyone's been getting a bit quiet recently. It's not had the same atmosphere. So I think there's a lot more confidence about the fans in the team. I think there's a lot more confidence in the team in themselves. And obviously, Massinio's got a lot of confidence in the whole setup as a whole. So it's nice to see him dragging that out of us as individuals and bringing the best out of everyone. So, yeah, very happy with what's happening so far. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think I'm delighted, and I think it's going to be his 10th game in charge this weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think we're currently something like 1.89 points per game, and we've been saying that if we can be 2 points per game, then that is playoff form. And if you sustain that over a long period of time, then you're going to eventually get results. We'll deep dive into Cheltenham if we can. And sorry, you asked me what I think. I was going to just reference of what you're saying there. When you can hear the Fratton End going 1-0 down, making the noise that they do, I think that was born out of an acceptance and an acknowledgement from the fans that this Pompey side was still very much in the game, even though they'd gone a goal down. There was enough evidence given to them in terms of chances and opportunities, both in the first half and early doors in the second, that actually we could still stay in this, and if we could get one, we could get another, and then we could even get a third, and it was there for all to be seen. Ronan Curtis then, let's take a dive back into Cheltenham. We'll chat about him specifically to start with. He shushed the travelling Cheltenham fans on his return to the scoreboard, the score sheet. He benefits from Pompey employing the high press, Ollie. I think that ups his game, and an in-form and firing Curtis is incredibly difficult to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we played Charlton a number of years ago, and my friends at the Charlton fans came and said very categorically that he is probably one of our best players in the squad. He's a dangerous player. He looks like he's, you know, he's up for it, and he's got a great attitude about him with that, hasn't he? He's really got that whole real hunger and anger, and, you know, like with that celebration, shushing the fans, it's a little bit, I'm not sure how I feel about it, if I'm honest. I feel a little bit, I guess I feel like it's if someone did it to us, we'd hate it, you know. And it's something that really winds them up and gets into them. And part of me is like, that's, you don't like it when it happens to you. But it is part of the thing that happens to football. And I think it shows his...
I think it's called shithousery, I think is the term.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it shows his hunger for it, though. And that's the thing, that's the positive to take for it, is how much he loved that moment and what it meant to him as an individual. You know, he was so riled up, so angry, so ready to go to battle for the club, that he was, even after he scored a goal, his first mind is, let's piss off the opposition.
In, what, 47 Cheltenham fans?
Well, yeah, but even still.
Well, it wasn't 47.
At least he didn't get kicked on the back, eh?
It wasn't 47, and we give a lot of credit to the Cheltenham fan. And I feel really sorry for Cheltenham, actually, because they've taken a nosedive recently in terms of form, and they had a really tough night against Derby on Tuesday, and obviously had the 4-0 against us and the 4-0 against Barnsley the week before. So things are a little bit worrying from a Cheltenham point of view. Let's chat about them goals then from the weekend against Cheltenham. From midfield, all of them, interestingly, and amazing to think that 4-0 is probably not representative of Pompey's display at the weekend. It could have been 5-6, maybe even 7.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we created so much in that game. It was a very dominant performance. And like you said, well, who was it? Ryan Tunnicliffe scored the first goal.
The first one, yeah.
You know, I thought that it was a good goal, to be honest. I thought there's some really good play, some really good quick passing and moving. I thought the second goal was a fantastic finish. Mm. You know, great bit of skill there. Again, Curtis's goal, very much a team goal. The ball coming in from wide, being passed around to get into that position. Curtis coming into the box late to collect that. And the final goal, what a strike that is. I mean, it's just one of those that you don't see very often, especially at this level. Great touch and turn, and just absolutely swazzes it. Keeper's got no idea what to do. He's clueless at that point, isn't he? And he's just stood there and watched it sail past him at light speed into the back of the net. So it was, yeah, there were some great goals in there. And like I said, it's not really representative of how we've scored goals this season. You know, a lot of our goals have been from, let's face it, Bishop. Mm-hmm. And they've been created by, you know, maybe one or two individuals doing a bit of good skill, getting the ball into the box to him, or an opportunist moment from a free kick or a corner, something of that ilk. Whereas those goals were all in open play. They were all well-worked goals. They were all, you know, it was all team goals as well. It wasn't just one player doing something and you know, creating an opportunity. It was the team working together. And I think that's what I said a few weeks ago, was that that's what we need to do. We need to work together and help one another and work off each other to create these opportunities. And that simple pass and move and speed to play is something that you struggle to defend against at this level. So we've got the opportunity to do that. We've got the players to do that. And we just got to keep doing it. And we'll keep scoring goals like that over and over and over again.
Something we mentioned on 4-0 Sunday Live was the fact that Tunnicliffe, Morrell, Pack and Thompson have all now scored since Massino took charge, and midfielders chipping in with the goals is something that we've lacked massively in recent seasons, and absolutely built on what you're saying there with being reliant on Colby. Speaking of Colby, 2 assists for him against Cheltenham, which oddly was met with some criticism from a few places, and I know me and you are both delighted to see him back amongst the goals after Tuesday night's display against Bolton, which we'll now move on to chat about. And we've already chatted about it already. This is kind of the first part of the show where we're just chatting Bolton, then we're chatting Cheltenham, then we're chatting Bolton. We're a bit all over the place, but we're enjoying it nonetheless. that flick, Ollie, from Colby was absolutely quality to see from him. And barely any power needed from the ball in from the corner. Lovely technique as a result of, it wasn't a ball in from there. It was a ball in from Morel, I believe, actually. And it reminded me of the Burton flick away from, I'll just check that because Morel might have delivered the second goal. I believe it was, I think it might have been Rafferty actually that delivers it from
there. Yeah, I think it was Rafferty.
Because half the team go and celebrate a Rafferty and Morel points at him and goes, what a delivery that was. And then, I'm talking absolute rubbish. Rafferty was definitely Towler's goal because I remember watching Towler run off to the corner of the front end of the south stand and the rest of some of the boys that were maybe a little bit deeper went to Rafferty to congratulate him. Morel definitely did provide an assist, whether it was Colby's or not. I'll very quickly have a look when you're chatting in a moment. Lovely technique from him. It reminded me of that Burton flick away from home all those weeks ago. I remember him kind of making it. I think it was either the first or the second. Really should have got our facts right, shouldn't we? But it definitely came at Burton away. It's nice to see that he can be as emphatic as that, even with a little bit of a goal drought of late. Shows that the confidence has never gone. It may just be a case of him doing other things other than scoring and providing assists and then popping up with a goal. You know, it shouldn't be any pressure on Colby because we know what a keen striker he is and what a keen finisher he is.
You're right, exactly right. I think that it goes without saying that we've got a lot of confidence in what Colby does. I know that you and I feel that way, particularly. His records kind of speak for themselves in terms of his shot accuracy and goal conversion and all that kind of stuff. So in terms of statistically wise, he's one of the best strikers in the league. He went on a small drought for a very short period of time, but it's not a long time where he wasn't scoring goals for. It wasn't like a Marquis for us when he went on a huge goal drought and struggled to find the target and really dropped in confidence. And it's nice to see that even with all that's going on, you know, he's still a team player. And I think that's the difference in this Mourinho era. It's not about, you know, the strikers need to score goals. It's about the team need to score goals for the team. And how that comes about is by all working together. And sometimes that means a striker has to drop in to collect the ball short, to play it out wide for the winger to put a ball across the box for a midfielder who's running into it to score. Now, is that how we score a goal, that then so be it. It doesn't matter relatively who puts the ball in the net as long as it ends up there. Having two assists is a showcase to how he's part of the team, not an individual just there to score goals. You know, it's easy to sit there at the top, goal hanging, and not bring anything to the team, not drop in to collect the ball, not create space, all those kind of things that are hugely more important than scoring a couple of goals a season. So I think that the whole team dynamic is a lot better. And it's nice to see that even in the new team dynamic that Colby's still confident enough that he knows what he's doing and what his role is, and that is to score goals. Quite an interesting story about strikers is Peter Crouch. So he quite famously said on his podcast about how when he played for Liverpool under Benitez had a role for him, which was basically collect the ball and pass it off and basically hold up play, get the ball out wide and let everyone else run onto it and score goals. And he said that he felt like he was getting slated. He was like, I'm a striker. I'm there to score goals. And every week I pick up the paper and it says how I've got another goal drought and I'm not scoring goals and blah, blah, blah. And he said it just plays on you. And he's like, one week I just decided, no, like, F it. I'm going to go score some goals and that's what I'm going to do. And he said he scored two goals in the first half and Benitez called him in at half time and took him personally aside and absolutely ripped into him. Said, what are you doing? That isn't your role. That isn't what you do in this team. That's not your position in this team. You shouldn't be doing that. And he was just like, well, how can you be annoyed? Like, the papers loved him for it because he scored two goals and broke his goal drought. But, you know, Benitez was very quick to put him back in his place and say, actually, there's a bigger importance here than one person scoring a goal. And it's about the team's dynamic, the way the team plays together and how you operate it within that team. And your role Bishop's role might not be to be the last man stood there poaching at the last second and getting a few goals a season. It's much more of a team role where he's providing and getting in the right positions and collecting the ball and laying it off and creating better opportunities for us to score in general, which is, in my opinion, a better way of playing football. So I'm glad to see that there has been this change, and I think it's for the right reasons. And I think that you'll hopefully will continue to see this run of form going forward towards the end of the season.
just to clarify on what we were saying, it was Rafferty to deliver the first one for Towler. Then it was the Joe Morel delivery for Towler for the second. And then Ryan Turnercliffe from the corner for Colby Bishop's neat little flick. So absolutely delighted with that. I want to chat about Joe Morel.
Three set pieces, eh?
We've scored 48% of our goals have been from dead ball situations this season. So it's, and it's seven goals in two games as well, which is...
Again, I would say that's a big difference. Is if you watch Towler's second goal, that was actually from open play. That wasn't that was passed from a corner to Morel, and Morel turned and chipped the ball into the box.
Yeah.
Towler was at the back post and he made a late run in. And although there was two defenders and an attacker ahead of him going for the ball, he still committed to that, attacked the goal. Got behind the defender, got in front of his man, and that's what put him in the position to score that goal. And I think that attitude is a big change. That mental form of attacking the ball, attacking the goal, never giving up. Because a lot of people in those situations, when the ball's coming towards them in the box and they're a defender, they're not minded to go, oh, if I put myself in this position behind this man, and if the ball manages to get over the two defenders and the strikers in front of me, who are also going for the same ball, it might fall to me and I might have an opportunity to score. That's a striker's mindset. You know, a striker's mindset is always gambling on that last ball and trying to pressure the keeper so that if the ball does come back off the keeper, they're there to put it away. That is very much like an out-and-out striker's mindset. It's not really a defender's mindset. So having that mentality... to think that way in that moment, I think it just shows what a complete player Ryan Towler is. And I also think it shows the attitude and the mentality of John Messina and what he's pushing through the squad. It's great to see, because the more we do that, the more we're going to score those types of goals. And that's what we need to capitalise on. Like you said, we score a lot from dead play situations anyway. If we're really attacking that ball and we really want it, and we want it more than the opposition, we are going to score more goals in those positions. And that's what we need to continue to do towards the end of the season now.
On last week's podcast, you mentioned how many technical centre-backs we've had in the last few seasons. Cometh the man, Riley Towler. There it is. Got to be Dawes.
It's got to be Dawes, mate. I mean, score, what was it? The first goal was a header?
Both of them are headers.
No. Second one was left foot.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. You can watch back the replay, my boy, and you'll see.
I watched it a minute ago, and I was I'm confident the first one's a header. Let's just
The first one's a header, and what a great little finish that was again, because he had a defender and the keeper running across. There wasn't much of a room, and he put it straight through the slot.
Yeah, right. It is a left foot. Yeah,
put it in. And that's what I mean. The ball's coming over a few defenders and an attacker to him, and he's still got the consciousness to be in that position to score with his feet, which. Again, not many defenders do that in that position and put themselves in that place. So I think that's a credit to himself and a credit to Messina for the way he's setting up the team and the way we are attacking the ball in the box. And it's great to see, because it's a real push in the right direction for Pompey. And the more we do that, the more we're going to score goals. And the more goals we score, the less games we lose, and so on and so forth. I know that sounds very simple and very obvious, but that is just the reality of the situation.
A lot. This is the thing. Every time I have a conversation with someone about what's going on with Messina, I find myself. I was filming with Jack last night for the Young Fan podcast in League One, and he was asking me all about Pompey. And I said to him, It sounds really simple, but he's playing players in the right position, and we're getting results from it, and we're working the ball in from set pieces, and you know we're being aggressive and we're being front footed and we're pressing from the front, and it's like well yeah, of course you are, because that's what you do, but it just feels like everything's been simplified so much. I think the bottom line takeaway from me when we chatting about Messina is that Tom Lowry was being ready to come on at 1-0 down. We then equalized. Lowry was told to sit back down, and the special John ended up with three strikers on the pitch, and we won 3-1. We didn't stop at 2-1. We stayed relentless, and Bolton absolutely crumbled when we turned the dial with our set-piece play. I think, and this is no detriment to previous administrations, but I would not have been surprised if we'd still put Lowry on at 1-1, tried to defend the fact that we had a point at home against a top playoff side and lost the game 2-1 in the last minute. Wouldn't have surprised me. But actually, he went, you know what, let's have some of this. And he did it at Plymouth and it didn't work. And he did it at Fratton Park and it did. And it's just a case of that. We spoke about Morel earlier as well. There was a video that was picked out when Unlundalu came on for Bolton, who is a product of the academy down the road, of course. And Morel, the smallest man on the pitch, gets in his way, miles away from the ball, very surreptitiously trips him and he falls over. And I've also seen him liking tweets from Grimsby Town in the last 24 hours as well. So as well as an EFL images that precede unfortunate events post that the League One official page tweeted saying Bolton are absolutely on fire, only for Pompey to end up completely turning them over. And Joe was one of the liked accounts on that. So that's always good to see. Owen Dale is absolutely awesome. Loved watching him skip through players. He's come so close both at the weekend and during midweek. He hit the bar against Cheltenham. And that moment where he got it sort of stuck under his feet in the Bolton penalty area in the first half. And the fact that those have both been so well deserving of a goal, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a couple at Cambridge this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing from his game that we haven't seen an awful lot of. But like I said before, I'm not worried about that. I don't think his role in the team isn't to score lots of goals. His role in the team is to provide and create situations. I think he's a fantastic athlete. I think we saw that against Tottenham. You know, he worked and worked and worked that entire game, and that Tottenham side would have pressed and worked him hard as well on a big pitch. So for him to keep it, his fitness levels and his standards to the level he did, and you know, as you're getting more and more tired in the game of football, your legs are getting heavier and heavier, but to maintain that agility and speed with his feet, I think just goes to show how well committed he is to his craft. And the fact that he still produces week on week, you know, you don't really see a slump in performances from him. Not that I've noticed, not that I've seen. I've never heard anyone go call Morel had a bad game tonight. Not Morel, sorry.
Well, I've never Dale. Heard that either, to be
well,
fair.
We don't hear that either, to be honest, no. But yeah. The point stands is that consistency counts for a lot, you know, and that, in my eyes, puts him as, you know, a championship player. I think he could easily play in the championship the level he plays football at, and I'll be very surprised come the end of the season if he continues to perform the way he does and we don't get promoted, if we are able to retain him. I think the only ways we'll be able to retain him is by putting our money where our mouth is and offering him a bit of a contract to stay and really press ourselves forward for the 2024 season.
He does love it, though. He really likes it and is enjoying himself at Pompey, which is, good to see. And I think if the stars align properly, I don't think there'd be an awful lot in terms of personal terms to convince him to come back. I think it would be very much a case of us getting the logistics of it in terms of a deal sorted rather than the personal nature. 13 points from available 15 now under Mocenigo. Of late, turning ourselves into one of the informed League One sides. How nice is it to say that no one wants to play Pompey at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic place to be. You know, I think that we're becoming that side that people don't want to play. And it's exactly what you just said, really. We're creating a lot of opportunities. We're a bit scary going forward, really, for other teams to have to defend against. We're posing a lot of threat to teams. And I think there's a lot of teams in our league that, you know, Plymouth, yes, they beat us, but I think they did get away with one a little bit. There was a lot of opportunity in that game. We played very well. We could have definitely scored a couple more goals in that game. We would have taken our chances a bit better and maybe been a little bit more gelled under Mocenigo as well, because obviously it's quite new into his era against a big side that's well established in the league with a lot of funding this year. So it wasn't ever going to be an easy game, but I think that they did get away with one. We could have easily snuck a 2-2 draw there or turned the figure on them and beaten 3-2 as well, or even 3-3 draw. There was definitely that opportunity in the game. So the fact that we're able to do that against a top team like Plymouth and we're still able to perform, I think that it is a scary prospect for the teams coming to Fratton Park and for, you know, when we go away to the likes of Barnsley and sides like that, you know, hopefully we've got Barnsley shaking in their boots a little bit. You don't want them being too ready for us. It's quite nice having that air of complacency when they think they're going to beat us and we can turn them over.
I'm a bit worried about the snow.
The snow, is it coming in, is it?
I had a little look. I'm a bit worried about, no one's really mentioned it yet, but I'm a little bit worried about the snow.
Well, one of my friends is taking customers to the Barnsley game, right? He's a Bournemouth fan. He's not a Portsmouth or Barnsley fan, but he's got corporate tickets at Barnsley. So I asked him if that was the queue jump to the burger van or not, or how that actually what that actually constitutes. He says that he imagines it will involve gravy at some point. Yes. So I'm sure it'll be a fun evening for all. And I can't imagine it will be snowed off at this level. Have they got any underpitch heating or any? I know we do, but do they have anything there?
Well, they're a championship club for quite a while, weren't they? So we shall see. Big week coming up. Two massive games between now and when we speak again on the podcast, starting with Cambridge United this weekend. We all know that a loss there completely throws a towel. And if there is any hope of playoffs, I've seen a lot of people go, well, it's not impossible, but it's very unlikely, which is good because a couple of weeks ago, people were going, it's impossible and it's unlikely. So we've made progress on the hardline Pompey fans who don't think we're anywhere near the playoffs. I suppose, Ollie, by the time next week comes around, we'll probably be clearer on where this group are under John Messenier.
Yes, for sure. We're in a very good place in terms of as a club at this moment in time, this short little winning spree that we've been on. And we're moving definitely in the right direction as a squad and as a team. So those things are obviously big positives. Now, as we said, you know, I think we've created a little gap now between us and 11th. I think there's 6 points or 8 points in there and a game in hand in our favour. So I think we're fairly secure in the fact that we'll be in the top half of the table come the end of the season, in my opinion now. I would like to think that we're not going to go full Danny Cowley and revert back to losing game on game on game. Not saying that's his fault, but just referring to the form towards the end of his tenure at our club. But I think that we're 12 points off the playoffs. We have no games in hand on Barnsley, who are currently on the edge of the playoffs, I believe. They're right on that bottom lip, and they've got a game in hand on us, I think, in that point charge as well. So really, we're looking above them. We're on the same amount of games as them at the moment, and we're, like I said, we're in that 12 points behind. So, you know, that's four wins against four losses to drag that back, which is a solid ask. You know, we need to go on a really serious run of form between now and the end of the year to get in there.
I think another thing, just to jump in there on the table thing while we're chatting about it before you move on to someone else, we have the chance to go eighth on Saturday. Peterborough are playing Sheffield Wednesday and Shrewsbury have got Derby, and they are both on 51 points. Pompey are on 48 with a game in hand on Shrewsbury and same games as Peterborough. So it's a real opportunity to get, not maybe points wise, not an awful lot closer, but actually if you jump up that table and there's only that one spot that then separates you from the playoffs, it's then all of a sudden, I think after this weekend, if we end up being eighth, everyone might sit up and go, oh, Pompey might be just about mounting a late charge for it, and things could get quite exciting. But then it could all fall apart away at Barnsley if they go and tonk us 3-1, for example. Right,
exactly. We're in a very fragile place where, you know, we need to become that great club again, where we go on those winning sprees. That, you know, we've spoken about it before. I mean, who is it? Is it Sheffield?
Wednesday, 20 game unbeaten, yeah.
Yeah. So they've 20 games unbeaten, which is unbelievable at this level of football, because it is very dog eat dog. It's very fight. It's very battley type. You go to places like Port Vale away. It's not an easy place on a Tuesday night and raining at -2 in Port Vale to go mount a win and get up for a game. So it's not an easy place to be in League One. And there's a lot of good sides in there with good ability and people that are just going to stop you playing football and break up play and create problems for you. So the fact that they've managed to do that just proves that why they're where they are and why they're in that place for automatic promotion. Whereas, you know, we have been a club like that in spells. We've gone on this little short charge now of two wins. We really need to turn that into four wins back-to-back to give ourselves a really good opportunity of the playoffs, I think. There's not that many games left in the season. We obviously went through that big losing streak in the middle of the season there, which hasn't helped us at all to this point. But that's not to say that it's impossible. Teams up there are going to be losing points. They're going to be dropping points game in, game out. There will be the opportunity for us to make up 12 points, but it is a big ask for us to do that. And I think that if we do that and we do get that run of form into it, then in the playoffs, we have a serious chance of promotion. Because that run of form going into the playoffs against everyone around us will put us in a position where we're probably the most on-form team at that point if we manage to get there. So I think if we do that, then we'll prove ourselves as a promotion side and we'll be in the right place. I don't think by any stretch of imagination, if we wake up next season in the Championship, we wouldn't have earned our position there, because I think we very much would have, even with the little failing we had in the middle of the season. Because I don't think that's really respective of what we're playing like now and what the team's like now comparably to what they were like.
Yeah, it's currently 11 points to the playoffs, and my feeling would be if you're then 8 points on Saturday, and you're obviously assuming that Barnsley and this is the problem, you assume in other teams, aren't you? Barnsley have Bristol Rovers and Wickham have Exeter, so you know, I mean, anything can happen, of course, but you kind of, you know, it's teams above us making ground as much as us make it. We can only do so much in terms of making up ground, can't we? It's one of those. As I said, we'll see where we are when the time comes to it. Perhaps a weekend then that Pompey fans can be fairly confident about coming away with 3 points from. I think Dale and Bishop to score for me, Ollie. What do we think? Because that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'd love to see Dale bag a goal. I think that time's come for him to score a goal and get on the score sheet. I think he's earned that right with the way he's been playing. Not, like I said, not necessarily that's his role in the team, but he's definitely earned the right to at least a goal and a bit of glory in that celebration and that emotion that comes of it. Bishop, obviously great. It would be great to see him score 2-2 and get that, you know, real run of goals again. But, you know, there's lots of places our goals could come from. There's opportunities all over that attacking line. And I think that, you know, hopefully come that end of the game, we'll be looking at another 3-goal game, 4-goal game, and being like, why did we ever think 2-0 was the only opportunity we were going to have? You know, we can go out there and beat teams 4-0 and 3-1, as we've proven very recently. There's no reason why we should be slowing up at any point now and only scoring 2 away this weekend. We should be looking to put 3 or 4 past them again and win convincingly.
Be nice to be double figures for the week, wouldn't it? If you think about those 3 games, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, be lovely. Yeah. Let's move on to our final part of the show tonight then. The magic of the FA Cup. I wanted to have a brief word about this before we leave you. Obviously, we saw last night Sheffield United beat Premier League side Tottenham. Lee two-side Grimsby Town beating the scum down the road, which is lovely to see, courtesy of 2 penalties. And not just because it was them, Ollie, but the fact that a League Two side can have a, 4,000 allocation down at Premier League opposition. They've scored more goals against Premier League opposition than Chelsea have since January the 15th as well, Grimsby Town. So that's always nice to see. I thought we'd get that there in the podcast for you. I thought it was an amazing stat when I saw it. Nice to see that domestic cup competition, why there is still that magic, because I think there was a little bit of a concern previously that, oh, maybe, you know, the money of the Premier League and the worldwide appeal that maybe diminishes and distinguishes the FA Cup as something that might be a little bit of a tired concept. There aren't as many giant killings as we used to have. But I think this week's just proved that there's nothing quite like the FA Cup.
No, I mean, as a club, we resonate with that 100%. Yeah. You know, let's drag us back to 2007, 2008 and all that went on in that time. It was fantastic to be a part of it back then. And, you know, in our time there, we beat Tottenham on the way the first time around. Then we got to the final. Second year was we beat Tottenham on the way there again and lost to Chelsea in the final. So although, you know, there's been some big games and some big wins from underrated clubs in that cup in recent years as well. And this year has been no different. You know, we saw what Wrexham managed to do against, was it Sheffield?
Sheffield United.
Against Sheffield United. You know, creating, you know, I think something crazy, like there was 90 something teams between their positions in the league, and they managed to take them to a replay and arguably should have won at the racecourse first time round. Great to see Grimsby do what they did as well. You know, what a fantastic result it is for them. You know, it's going to mean a lot to them financially as well, which is huge, because, you know, at this level, let's face it, the Premier League clubs don't really need the money. They've got all the TV money coming in. They've got all the sponsorships they want because they're on the TV all the time. You know, I feel sorry for people like Grimsby. It must be a hard job for them to generate sponsorship money every year and to get the local community involved and behind them and all those kind of things. It's not an easy task to do that, especially as a small club in a lower league where you've not got so much exposure. So it's got to be a task every year to get people signed up for those kind of things and create revenue. So for them to put themselves in the position that they are in and, you know, being televised against big clubs and getting half the gate against, you know, big clubs away and in those kind of positions like we did when we went to Tottenham away, you know, financially that's massive for us as a club. So I think these kind of domestic competitions are integral for the lower league teams. It gives everyone an opportunity to go out there and show who they are. It gives everyone an opportunity to make a name for themselves. It also is great for the players. you know, how many players, like we said, Joe Morel was very lucky. He went to the World Cup, he went to Qatar, he got to train with Bale. He did some amazing, I'm sure that experience is like something he'll take through the rest of his life. He'll be telling his children and his children's children.
He's been so much better for it as a result as well, coming back.
100%. And, you know, that seeing that environment and playing in that environment and being a part of that is a huge wealth of experience. You know, that can age a player by a long way mentally just by going through that, which is going to help them in transform into performances like we've seen with Joe Morel. Similarly to a lot of our players with Tottenham, you know, Colby Bishop having the opportunity to start and play at Tottenham, as a lot of our squad did. You know, what a stadium that must be to go to an experience, to go to those types of change rooms and see, you know, play against people like Harry Kane. And, you know, that is, you know, something that they'll live with for all their lives. And they'll look back on these moments and go, I did that. And I was in that stadium playing against arguably one of the best British strikers of all time. You know, you can't put a price on those kind of things for the lower league clubs. And I think that it's a fantastic part of football, and it's great to see when it changes. In complete honesty, I don't really mind what small town team beats whatever big team. I'm happy for, you know, if Bolton went and did it and they made a run, you know, I'd be happy for them. I think that it's just it's a great thing for football, and it's a great thing for those clubs. So, and it's a good thing to show in English football that, you know, there's no room for complacency. You can't go, I'm a Premier League club, I'm going to walk over Grimsby. You know, it's not going to happen. And teams have got just as much ability as one another, and it gives them that boost of confidence to go do it in their league and maybe challenge for promotion themselves as well. So, yeah, it's great all in all. I don't know how you feel about it, but that, you know, I feel quite strongly that it's a fantastic thing for football.
Absolutely. Score for Saturday against Cambridge?
I reckon, Tom, Saturday against Cambridge, away there, I'm going to go 4-1.
I, for one, would absolutely love that. It's happened again. It's happened again. You left the open goal, mate. I had to smash it in like Owen Dale will on Saturday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Really hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast. Always good fun. I had loads to get through tonight. I feel like we've done a really consummate and comprehensive view of everything going on. And we even managed to squeeze in a little bit of the best domestic cup competition in the world chat in the end of the show too. That's it from us. We'll see you on Saturday. Keep the faith. And Ollie, as always,
play up, Pompey.